We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah! What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, and I am joined as always by the, I'm trying to think of a good football adjective, the gym rat, Rohan Kadi. We're going with a cross-racial comp to start. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
Does that count? I feel like that's a cross because I feel like that's, we all know what gym rat usually means, but let's really make it mean a gym rat. You're a gym rat, Rohan. You're locked in the gym.
Yep. Let's... this is great.
Are we off the rails here? Is this what happens when we don't record enough in the off season?
This is off season. This is peak off season intro right here.
Yeah.
But I am doing well, Ty. We've got a lot of fun stuff around the corner. We have, of course, Eurobasket is in full swing, and we are going to be talking about that here on this very podcast. Yeah. Milwaukee Brewers are doing Brewers things.
Oh, we're talking about fun stuff.
I'm saying they're doing things. I didn't say anything about
you said that. Brewers things, which is not all that fun of late. They did win their last game.
I think that's the best. That's the best that I can do right now.
Yeah.
But they are still firmly in the mix for a wild card spot. And why are you laughing? They are
firmly in the mix. I don't know if you can firmly be currently outside of the wild card. That's not very firm.
They're in the mix for a wild card spot. What are they? Two
games out, I think, still. Yeah.
As we record this here on Tuesday?
Yep. Tuesday evening. I won't even yell at you for not knowing the day because of Labor Day. It's a short week. I totally understand and emphasize with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, the Brewers are doing Brewers things, like I mentioned, and you can check out all of that on Cruising for a Bruising. Our hosts, Adam McGee and Andrew Snyder, have you guys covered for all things Milwaukee Brewers as they enter the stretch run. And also, Ty, football starts this week. You mentioned that you wanted to use a football adjective because we have Talk of the Tundra, GSPN's Green Bay Packers podcast. You and Newmark so far have been doing a great job. You, Newmark, and Andrew, actually, on your last podcast, went through all the over-unders in the NFL, just giving a league-wide perspective. And that I listened to that, and that honestly helped me a lot because I'm someone who's like, I know what's going around the Packers for the most part, obviously not as much as like Newmark or you, for instance. But I like to think I know what's going on, but the general NFL is something I struggled with. But that podcast actually really, really helped me get ready for this NFL season, which is going to kick off this week on Thursday. And the Packers do not play their first game until Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. So make sure you check out Talk of the Tundra.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you thought so. But now that we got the plugs out of the way, you can head over to gspn.info, check out all of our content. Also, on the pop culture side, Adam and Andrew talking about Lord of the Rings, the rehearsal. A lot of great content there as well on Make Time for This. So gspn.info to find out all those pods. But let's dive into the real cream of the crop for summer sports. Eurobasket were in full swing, and Greece, despite there still being a game day left, I think for all the groups, at least for Greece's group C.
Every
group has one left. Thank you. Greece has clinched the top spot by beating the undefeated before earlier today, Ukraine, who really in the first half beat Greece. I mean, in the first half of the game, they were up, I think, 6 or 7 at halftime. The Ukrainian team was really balling out, a real team effort, although they do have, I just told you before, it was Alex Len and Svi Mykhailiuk, I think, are their NBAers on the Ukrainian team. Also, yeah, that I remember now because they're the two players who came together to make a statement when the Ukraine was invaded. So shout out to those two playing for their home country right now and balling out at the aforementioned 3-0 record, now 3-1. Ukraine is on to the next round no matter what happens on the next game day for Group C. But in the second half, Greece and mostly Giannis took over. They end up winning by 20 despite being down by 7 at halftime. So Greece pulled it together. Giannis drops a career high in international ball, of course, 41 points. Do you know the last player to score 41 points or more in Eurobasket?
I do, but I'll let you say anyway.
Yeah, you can say it if you know. Go ahead.
It's Dirk Nowitzki with 43 in 2001.
It is indeed. So it is, for a guy who can't score against congested paint, kind of weird he's able to score more than anybody had in 21 years, huh?
It's wild. It's crazy. Just imagine if he ever learns how to play basketball, Ty. Imagine. Take us back to Henry Cavill and whatever those celebrities singing Imagine.
Oh my God, what a callback. But as you mentioned, we have not recorded since any of these games were played. So Greece is now 4-0. And because the only team they're within a game of anymore is Ukraine and they have the tiebreaker, they have clinched because really, I mean, outside of their breeze to a game against Great Britain without Giannis, Great Britain has been the worst team in this group by far. A couple of nail biters, man. I mean, I think we expected Greece to do well, and they have. But I don't know if, I don't know. We thought maybe they'd lose a game. They almost lost two games, and that's before the Ukraine won. They hold on 89-85 against Croatia. And also against Italy, where they win 85-81. Their first two games, Giannis plays both games of the back-to-back, which we did not see coming. He did not play against Great Britain, so that was the second back-to-back. So he'll only play one in Eurobasket, which is good. But Greece needed it, man, because this would have been an entirely different scenario now if they had lost one of those games. So what were your thoughts on really any of the games? But I think the most interesting ones are against Croatia and Italy here for Greece.
It seemed a little too Bucksy for me. I know I've said erroneously in the past about how saying the Bucks instead of the Greek national team, but they looked like it. Like they had, especially like look at this Croatia game, game one. At halftime, you have a 16-point lead. You blow it in the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, it's an 8-point game and they squeak out a 4-point victory against Croatia. And then you look at the game against...
Real quick, guess what Giannis' plus-minus was in the game?
What was it?
+4. He was the difference.
He always is, Ty.
Him and Tyler... That was the Tyler Dorsey game. He dropped 27. We'll have a Tyler Dorsey combo later, but he has on and off been hooping. But go ahead, Italy.
And even in the game against Italy, you have a 7-point lead at halftime. You don't really put them away. You have a 14-point lead at the end of the third quarter. You just start to fumble it away. You let the teams get back in it. The Italy game was a little bit different than the Croatia game because in the fourth quarter, the Greek national team had sort of rested. Like they pulled their starters, letting a lot of the bench guys get involved. And that allowed for Italy to start to go on a run. And then eventually it's like, okay, let's go finish this off. And it ends up being another 4-point victory for the Greek team. It seemed like this team was sort of still figuring out how to play together. Because we'd seen like in the warm-ups, the Acropolis tournament, the friendlies, and then World Cup qualifiers, this team was on and off. It struggled a bit. It struggled to find its identity. Obviously, when Giannis was in the game, everything was just like, okay, Giannis, go be Giannis. And that's like, awesome. They're going to go win by a lot of points because Giannis is Giannis. Best player in the world, according to 2K. Hey, I snuck it in there, Ty.
That's all we're talking about 2K today.
But they seemed a little bit on and off. Like what's their identity? How can you get other people going? They dealt with injuries like Kostas Antetokounmpo had been out, and then Yorgos Papianis, he is back now, but he missed the first couple games in this Eurobasket.
Yeah, I think his return was Great Britain, which was pretty good timing to help give Giannis the day off, and he hooped, making 8 of 11 shots against GB.
Oh yeah, he was great. He's so big, man. He is a massive human being. Like, he takes up size and knows how to use the size. Like, weaponize your size. But, like, what I was saying was this Greek team had struggled to really find an identity, and that came to a head in these first two games of Eurobasket. Like, you can see the vision of how they have crisp passing, great defense. Like, this is a very, very well-coached team when it's firing on all cylinders. It is a great team. It is a massive upgrade in terms of coaching that we've seen in this Greek national team in years prior, where it was just absolute malpractice when you have a talent like Giannis. And you just pound the ball by Nick Kalathis. I'm not going to get mad again. But you see,
it's like, he's so good, but he's so frustrating. Kalathis.
He is, but he's better. He's been better. But my general point is that this team's starting to figure it out. We've seen it in the Great Britain game without Giannis. And now we saw it in this game against Ukraine with Giannis. They know how to play with and without Giannis. They know how to play any style. They know how to defend. They know how to be a cohesive team. That's really the story coming out of these last two games, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the injuries definitely play a big part and have made it more difficult. You know, the Ukraine game is the first time that Giannis and Papianis play together. They didn't start together. I don't have the exact numbers, but obviously didn't play a ton of minutes together even in that game. So, and the hope is that Kostas will be able to return for the final game. Is that Estonia they play in the final game, their final game of Group C, which, again, not important for Greece. Would expect Giannis to probably sit so he can be fresh for the start of the knockout phase. There's no loser's bracket, right? It's win or go home, I believe, in the knockout phase.
Correct. But there is a third place game.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, if they get far enough, you get one more game. But it's win or go home. So, you know, I would imagine. And there was actually, I saw Eric Named reshared a piece from earlier in the process of Mike Budenholzer kind of talking about the way the Bucks and the Greek team work together and have been in lockstep. And he kind of said kind of a lot for Bud to reveal, for him at least. He said it hasn't always been that way. And I was like, oh, okay. So I think Bud and the Greek team is Dimitrios Aitoudis.
Yeah.
Hopefully I didn't butcher it too bad. The formerly of CSKA Moscow, now of Fenerbahce, the coach of the Greek national team. I think he's been doing a very good job, and it seems like the Bucks are aligned with him. And Giannis certainly is. Giannis has been the focal point, as he should be, of the Greek team.
It also helps when Josh Oppenheimer is on the coaching staff.
Yeah, and John Horst was over there. I think the Bucks training staff, I think Suki Hobson has been over there as well.
Yes, John Horst took in this game. He might have been there previously. I'm not sure. I know Mark Lazary was there this game. Alex Lazary was there.
Yep.
Who, I'm not sure if he has a role with the Bucks anymore, but he was
maybe
there.
Maybe again now. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe again now. Chris Middleton was there.
Yeah.
There was a
still rocking the cast, sadly.
Was he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think his hand, he still had it wrapped up a bit, that left hand. But
get well soon, Chris.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, though. You know, I assume Giannis doesn't play, but maybe we get some idea of how they're going to use Kostas and Papianis, probably not together. But Greece has basically done all this without either of their centers until, again, the Great Britain game. So I think that does put the Italy and Croatia close games into some perspective. Although, it's no excuse. Like, Italy has to go without Danilo Gallinari, who we learned is actually probably going to miss the season, it seems like.
Yep, tore his ACL.
Real career repercussions for a player who'd already slowed down, like physically slowed down a lot in recent years. That really sucks to see.
He got paid first, though.
Yeah, he got paid many, many times, I think. Gallo got paid, but the Rooster, unfortunately, is probably out of commission for quite a while.
Is that a nickname? Yeah. The Rooster?
I'm pretty positive. Let me people ref this. I don't know, man.
I believe you. I'm just questioning. Whatever. Continue.
No, I just think, you know, it's been just a difficult time for Greece, but they've still managed to go undefeated, which is what counts, and put themselves in a good place to, you know, make a real run at winning Eurobasket.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the favorites. You have to put them right up there with Serbia. You have to put them up there with Slovenia, with Germany, with France, these, and Spain, these powerhouses. Purely, well, one, because they are a very, very well-coached team. They, yeah. I cannot stress this enough. It's night and day.
Between
the way this team plays compared to Greek national teams in the past. It's so good. It's so good. Tudis has done a fantastic job, and his staff, at getting this team disciplined on both offense and defense. And of course, when you have the best player in the world, that also helps.
Yeah.
So combining those two factors definitely makes Greece a powerhouse. I think there's video of Coach Tudis talking to his team after the game about how there's now expectations for you. Like, you are expected to go very, very far in this tournament, and you have to be prepared for that. You cannot fall under the pressure of expectations. And I think that's a good way to go about it, because this team does have expectations. One, because Giannis is there, that's automatically going to have expectations. And two, you've been performing very, very well thus far. So yeah, like you said, this team is set up to be potentially in a road to gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
for sure, to medal, but to gold.
Four games to win to get there. For Greece, not counting, again, the Estonia game, which doesn't seem like it matters at all at this point. So you got to win all four. I mean, it's the difference between being paper champs and not. But if they and Serbia both end up winning, which we are rooting for Serbia, because if Serbia wins, that'll put them on the other side of the bracket. And there's a solid shot Greece could see Slovenia on their side of the bracket. So would be pretty tough if you had to go through Slovenia and Serbia just to make the final. Or maybe it would be one or the other, potentially both as well. But that would be – and there's so many potentials, because there are so many groups still up in the air. I think Greece may be the only one that's locked up the top spot so far. There's a tie in record in A and B, and Serbia plays Poland, which I think Serbia is going to be – I'm not that it's going to be odds, but pretty heavily favored there. But if Poland wins, they are the top seed, because they're only one game behind and they would hold the tiebreaker. So no other seeding is as firm as Greece at one right now. So we know where they are in the bracket, but we don't know exactly who will be in the other spots.
For sure. Should we go through potential matchups next?
Yes, we should. So I've got it typed up when we went through it. Do you also?
I know you do.
Okay.
I have the bracket, though.
Yeah.
So Greece, as they are number one in Group C, would, in the round of 16, which they're confirmed to go to, would be playing against the fourth team in Group D, which is Serbia's group. Ty, what are the potentials there? It could either be Israel, it could be Finland, or it could be the Czech Republic.
Yes, all depends on how the last game and some tiebreakers and stuff shake out, but it will be one of those three teams. So this is, because it's, you know, only a four-round tournament, this is the only, and I wouldn't even say cakewalk. I think these are capable teams. But these are going to be the only teams where I think Greece should be pretty easily favored to move on.
For sure. It's going to be the least contested game, we'll say.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, you look at the other side of the bracket, and if only one of Slovenia or Serbia or neither of them end up there, I think some team is going to feel really good about being able to go through. Greece should feel really good about this game, but after this, it's going to get a lot tougher.
Yeah, so after this game, they would play the winner of B2 and A3.
Yes.
And tie one of those potential teams.
So on one hand, it could be Spain, Montenegro, or Belgium for A3. All of those teams still in line. Probably more likely to be Montenegro or Belgium, but it could be Spain. And on the other side, you're looking at one of Germany, Slovenia, or France. So, you know, maybe people listening might think Germany, they're probably not that good. Germany's had a really nice tournament. They are 3-1, currently leading Group B. So either way, I think we would lean to expect Germany, Slovenia, or France, whoever it is, to be the team facing Germany – or Greece, excuse me. And
would,
that
would
is
– Slovenia be leading Group B right now because they just beat Germany?
Since it's a three-way tiebreaker, I wonder if there's something else. I'm just looking at the display on the Eurobasket site, and they have Germany in one. I do not know why.
Okay. We'll figure it out. But it's still up. It's still up for grabs this season.
Correct. Yes, it is. So Germany, it could be Germany, Slovenia, or France. So we expect that it will be one of those three teams. And none of them are easy by any means. I think probably Germany easier than Slovenia or France, but still not an easy team. So I think as soon as round two, you know, maybe you see a Montenegro, Belgium, or Germany, but you could also see Slovenia, France, or Spain. So this is where it starts to get really contested games.
And this is where you get into high-end NBA talent on the other side.
Yep.
So Germany, Franz Wagner is absolutely killing it for Germany.
He's a good international ball player with all the stuff he can do.
He's so, so good. Slovenia, Goran Dragic, and of course, Luka Doncic have been doing great stuff. And for France, you have Rudy Gobert. Who else is on France? Evan Fournier, And then Germany also has Dennis Schroeder, who technically is an NBA.
Yeah, presumably. At some point, will be an NBA player again. Certainly has NBA experience.
Yes. But that's a lot of talent on that team, on all of those teams, especially like Slovenia. They're the defending Eurobasket champions. They have the experience. They have obviously the talent necessary. Luka, I was watching Slovenia versus Germany earlier today, and Luka was just dominant. He was bullying Dennis Schroeder. I felt like it's tough to make me feel bad for Dennis Schroeder, but it made me feel a little bad.
Yeah,
he made me feel a little bad. Every possession, he was hunting him. He was posting him up. Dennis Schroeder was trying to do his best. He was waving off help just to get scored on possession after possession. And even there was a drive late in the game where Dennis Schroeder tried to get a step on Luka and tried to give him some payback. Luka swatted the shot. He was like, "What are you trying to do here?" I'm like 6'6". No, he's like 6'7", 6'8", actually. But Slovenia's absolutely loaded in terms of talent. We've seen them struggle at points, though. They do have a loss. They lost to Bosnia and Herzegovina, who has Jusuf Nurkic amongst other players.
Nurkic is having a hell of a summer, too. I think if you're a Portland fan, you're feeling good about how he looks after that new contract was given out.
For sure. I've always been a fan of Nurkic. Like, players who can get, like, 5x5 games, that's incredible.
It is fun.
He's the last 5x5 in the NBA. He's Nurkic like 3 years ago now at this point, I think.
I thought he was cooked, but he's proven me wrong this summer.
No, he definitely is. Obviously, it's a little lower standard of competition compared to the NBA, but it's still highly competitive basketball.
Yeah.
As we've discussed on previous episodes of this podcast. But just all of this is to say that the second round matchup for Greece is going to be tough to get there, obviously. But it's going to be very tough. You could see them losing. They could be potentially facing Slovenia. You could see Giannis versus Luka in round two.
Yeah.
One of those two could potentially not even make it to the semifinals.
Really just continuing the Greece team being Bucks Mediterranean, running into like the best player they're going to see in the second round. Very Bucks thing to do.
Yes. And if we want to go further than that,
semifinals.
Yeah, you could potentially see Serbia in there.
Yep.
Like you mentioned earlier, Ty, Serbia versus Poland on Wednesday, is going to decide who is 1 and 2 in Group D. If Serbia wins, they're 1. If Poland wins, they're 1, and the other is 2. So if Serbia does lose that game, they are D2 and could make it to the semifinals. They would be on the same side of the bracket as Greece.
Yep.
And there is a potential path for Giannis and the Greek national team to have, get as much of a gimme as you can get in round one. And then you have to face Luka, and then you have to face Jokic. That is a real possibility.
Yeah. And even either via an upset or Serbia being on the other side of the bracket, the more likely teams, I believe it's A1. So one of Spain or Turkey, who have both been, you know, are consistently good, especially Spain. And Turkey's been really nice this summer. I think their only loss this group was to Sandro Mamukelashvili's Georgia, who we'll touch on in a second, how the Georgian team is doing. Not great is the quick version, but we'll go over their chance to make the knockout round. It is still possible. But yeah, it's, you know, Spain or Turkey being the easier option still shows you it's a hell of a bracket. Of course, you know, this is the third round, 2 rounds in for everybody. There could be plenty of upsets. It could be some other, you know, whatever team that makes it through. But and then, you know, that team would have beat a Spain or a Turkey. So it's not going to be easy by any means by round three.
Yeah. And it's not like this is a series or anything where more likely for the more talented team to win and the better team to win. That's why I like series in terms of like playoff settings.
Yeah, obviously can't do it for this, but yeah, it does give you more of a certainty.
Yes, but in this, it's single game elimination.
It's like March Madness, man.
It is. It
Even
is.
Like,
it
the really qualification is. Being so fast. Like, there was a shot before they – who'd they win against the last game? I don't think it – maybe it was Germany, but there was a chance Slovenia could have gotten knocked out.
Yeah, if they didn't beat Germany, there was a chance that they could have been not advancing past the group stage in this tournament.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have the tiebreaker against Bosnia, so they would have been 2-2 correct. In fighting for fourth there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So there was a chance that Slovenia didn't make it. Like, this is a very highly competitive, intense tournament.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very, very interesting to see. So... Just to recap the bracket a little bit here, there is a chance, like I mentioned earlier, that you see Luka in round two and then Serbia in game three. However, that is probably unlikely.
Yeah.
I would pick Serbia, and I think you would as well, Ty, to beat Poland in their last matchup, which would put Serbia on the other side of the bracket. The only chance Greece would have to see Serbia in the tournament would be in the finals.
I need that rematch.
That'd be so good. Because they did play, like you mentioned, in the World Cup qualifiers, and Serbia won that game in overtime. But also, if Slovenia finishes first in their group or third in their group, they will also be on the other side of the
I was going to say, it could flip from very hard to, okay, now it's actually disappointing if Greece doesn't get to the final.
Yes. So if you're a Greek national team fan, you are rooting for Slovenia to either be one or three, and you are rooting for Serbia to win their game against Poland.
If you're a basketball fan, you're rooting for one team on each side, I think. I would love to see Giannis versus Luka. One team on each side of the bracket from Greece's perspective.
Oh, okay.
Because Giannis versus Luka and Giannis versus Jokic in the same run would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. I know it's a hard road, and I would love Greece to get gold. I think it'd be amazing. I know we have a lot of Greek listeners who tune in all the time, but especially now, rooting for you guys. Really, I mean, everyone knows how I feel about easiest path. It'd be great if Greece got gold, and I would celebrate it no matter who they had to play. But I would also love to see Giannis versus Luka and Giannis versus Jokic in probably potentially back-to-back games. Maybe not.
Potentially. Rather unlikely, but it is a possibility. Is there anything else we need to touch upon on the bracket?
We can talk about Georgia in a second, but I think, you know, the Greek team in general, I think it's still going to all come down to the perimeter players. Tyler Dorsey's been hooping. Kalaitis had his moments.
We'll talk about him more later.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Dorsey's been absolutely incredible.
Slukas had some games.
Yeah, you look at game two for Greece against Italy. That's the Tyler Dorsey game. He goes off for 23 points. Obviously, he's not the leading scorer. We say Tyler Dorsey game, obviously second to Giannis.
He tied him in that game, I think.
No, Giannis outscored him by two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Giannis had 25 and Dorsey had 23.
Oh.
But he was 6 of 10 from the field, all of it from three-point range. And then 5 of 7 from the free throw line. It was a scoring machine. That continued in their game against Great Britain, where Giannis did not play. Tyler Dorsey led. What am I thinking?
And also, no, you're thinking of the first two games. In the Croatia game, he tied Giannis. They both had 27 points.
Yeah, so I got that.
So he was a flamethrower the first two games, and then good not as good against Great Britain. But that was the game where Slukas, Kalaitis, I think Papanikolaou picked up a little bit. And I think those guys are going to be what it comes down to for Greece.
And Papagiannis. Papagiannis was the second leading scorer.
Oh, yeah, Papagiannis was really good against GB. It's a good call. But I think
Slukas went off. That's who Eugene was really looking towards in our previews with him about like some guy who's going to really step up. It's going to be Slukas. And he did show up in that game against Great Britain. 21 points, 8 of 10 shooting. At one point, I think he missed both his shots like in the second half. So first half, he was perfect from the field.
He's got a nice touch, dude.
Ridiculous shooting.
He's been streaky, but when he's on, he's really on. But that's what worries me.
He has a good sense of the floor, though. Like, he's not making bad decisions, even when he's missing shots and it's not on. He's not conceding just by taking shots. He's making good decisions. He can read the floor well. You can put the ball in his hands and ask him to create not only for himself, but for others. He's been excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. But no, not too many other thoughts on Greece. I think I'm just really excited for the knockout phase because I think – you know, it seems like for better and for worse, we're going to get pretty good games every time. Because even when Greece has been the better team, they have not made the games boring, which, again, not really a compliment, but it does help with watchability. So I think even the first game, I would guess, will be pretty competitive, even if Greece does end up winning pretty convincingly by the end.
For sure. And we sort of expected the group stage to be a little more of not as entertaining, but it has been entertaining.
Yeah, which again, good and a bad thing.
Yeah, we get to see close games, and we get to see Giannis dominate.
Yeah, I will say, I think I feel good about the chances against either Slovenia or Serbia. Slovenia, just because Greece has been, I think, at least as good so far throughout the stages or the stage, and Serbia being able to have hopefully both of Kostas and Papagiannis, and the game being, I think it'll be at a neutral site, not in Belgrade. Should make a huge difference in Greece-Serbia.
I believe it's in Germany.
That sounds right. Yeah, I know they're in Italy right now. They hosted this stage. Yeah. But I do think Germany is hosting.
Well, the group stage is taking place in different venues.
Yeah, yeah.
Per group.
Yeah, Italy's hosting this group.
Yeah, and I believe the knockout stage takes place in Germany.
Right.
So it will be a neutral site, aside from, you know, Germany. But
yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, Germany hosts from September 10th.
You're not
going to
host Eurobasket outside of Europe.
No, it's got to be somebody. But yeah, it's a big advance. So if they do get Germany in round two, that's again going to be a tough team to play because you're basically playing them at home.
For sure, Giannis and Mo Wagner.
Oh God, don't get ejected too fast, Giannis.
Yeah, control yourself. You know, is he on the roster actually?
Could not tell you. Have not caught too much of Germany. I just know they've been doing well.
He's not on the roster.
Oh, so okay. So I like their chance against Germany then. It was getting a little touch and go there for a second.
Yeah, their NBA guys are Dennis Schröder, Franz Wagner, Daniel Theis. That's it.
Yeah, Wagner's been and Schröder's a good overseas player too.
Yeah, but Wagner's been the guy though. Franz Wagner. But yeah, that's one last thing on the Greek national team, though.
Okay.
And this is something we probably should have discussed earlier. What do you think of Giannis?
I've actually been really excited about he's working more out of the post and having to do it through contact and through pretty much constant double teams. And I think while obviously the competition level is higher in NBA, I actually think it's really hard to play the way he plays in European basketball where – feels more physical, like they watch gather steps and stuff more quickly. There's no gather step. They watch travels more carefully. I think it's going to be good for him in the long run to get some of these posts. Like, he's done a lot of, like, hook finishes and everything. And that's the kind of stuff I want to see Giannis do more, especially if there's a mismatch, if they do put, you know, the Jay Crowders of the world on him. And we've seen him, you know, he can blow past pretty much everybody now. But the fact that he's doing some of this more traditional post-game stuff with Greece excites me a lot. Also, his passing has been great. Mid-range shooting. And in the group stage, he shot free throws exceptionally well, which is always good to see as well.
Yeah. The three ball hasn't really been there in the group stage.
Which is fine. Earlier. We're used to this.
In friendlies. Yeah. It's on and off. But he's looked so good operating with little space, operating out of what the defense gives him. Like, how are they trapping him? Are they going to just where are the bodies coming from? He's been looking so, so crisp. I'm trying not to get super excited about MV3 coming this season. But I think it might, because he looks ridiculous. Like, we talk about him putting up 41 and it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, it's Giannis. But the way in which he's dissecting defenses is ridiculous. Like, there was one play in this game against Ukraine where they trapped him at half court because they wanted the ball out of his hands. And he just went around everyone. Like, yeah, the entire team. And then he was at the rim in 4 seconds. Like, you're getting doubled at half court.
And he's
you're still winding your way through the defense. Like, what?
And also, I mean, again, it's like some of the, okay, you can get around the Ukrainian team. Like, it's okay. I mean, again, against all five guys or whatever, it's still really impressive. I also like how much he's finished through contact, which I think that's something that transfers to any level. I mean, you know, guys practice that with, like, assistant coaches with, like, body bags or brooms or whatever. Like, doing that, I think, is good. And, you know, obviously, Giannis, it's not new to him getting fouled, but it does feel like he is getting his shots on those fouls, like, a lot closer and putting a lot of them in. Again, not like Giannis never got and ones before. It's not totally new, but I have liked, you know, he's done a lot of difficult finishes, and it almost feels like some of these games, you know, maybe not too much, but it almost is like, I'm going to work on this game.
Yeah. Plus, I will say his jump hook.
That's what I'm saying. I love the post stuff. Yeah.
I know that was a lot. Like, last year, he introduced the jump hook even more in the NBA. But this, it's just keeps on building on it. That's like, you can't do anything against a Giannis jump hook. Like, if you body him and he, like, let's say the defender doesn't move and he just wants to shoot a jump hook, he'll get that shot every time.
Yep. And that's
you can't do anything about that.
That's going to be
freaking Taco Fall, which who's in China. Like,
that is also going to be a very important shot for Giannis as he ages. And we're far from that now, but that's how, if he wants to go for like some longevity stuff and other records and whatever, and, you know, rack up hardware, you know, not to directly compare, because obviously there's a skill level difference there in terms of hook shots, but that's how Kareem was able to play so long, right? Is that his game boiled down to, nobody can really contest this, and I can still shoot it really well and get up and down the floor. So I'll just continue to score 20 a game until I'm like 40 or however old Kareem was. So that's an important shot for Giannis in the long term, as well as right now. It's something, you know, the more stuff you can do, the bigger the bag, the better. And Giannis is deepening, which is always good to see.
For sure. Also, his ability to find space off ball has been really, really nice.
And the passes he's made in heavy traffic have been really good, too,
I would say. Yeah.
He finds TA for a couple every game. They're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is incorporated. Like, he had a nice dump off to TA in the dunker spot.
Yep.
Like, yeah, that's straight out of the Bucks playbook.
Yep.
And those, obviously, because they're both on the roster.
Yeah. It's a lot of fouls for TA in the group.
He's trying his best, Ty.
A lot of fouls for TA.
Let him live. He's doing his best. Let's not do this.
Did you see my comparison tweet?
I did not.
I said Giannis is to scoring as Thanasis is to fouling. Truly generational.
That's unnecessary. That's unnecessary.
He's generational. What do you want? Let's do Georgia, and then have a would you rather via question I got on Twitter that we'll tackle last, and I'll pull up who asked me. I'll be a good person, but a good podcast host. Well, responsible Georgia? Sourcing. But yeah, Georgia in a tough spot. Go ahead and talk about Georgia.
So obviously, Giannis and Thanasis are not the only Bucks participating in Eurobasket. Sandra Mamukelashvili is he's playing for Georgia. Georgia's struggling a bit. They are currently 1-3 in their group. However, they still do have a shot to make it to the knockout stage. If they beat Montenegro, and Belgium beats Bulgaria, Georgia is fourth.
That's the only way in.
Exactly. There's one way. Shout out Dr. Strange. I would say it's up and down. It's mostly been down.
Yeah.
For Georgia. So in game one, they get so close to beating Belgium, they lose by 3 in overtime, where you have Mamu in this game playing 39 minutes and 40 seconds out of a possible 45 minutes in the game. Drops 18 points at 7 of 10 shooting, including 5 of 7 from 3.
13 boards, too.
Ridiculous. Yeah, 13 boards, 2 assists. Did have 4 fouls, though. Only 3 turnovers, 2 blocks. He's a plus 2 in the game.
Yeah.
He was the only really guy who had it going, aside from McFadden for Georgia, who also had 17 on less efficient shooting. But it's clear the talent isn't really there for Georgia. But yeah. Mamu is starting to show out a little bit.
Yeah, Shengelia has missed, I think, every game in the group stage, and Goga Batazde missed quite a few of them, most of them. So
he missed 1.5.
1.5. But even with, I think, all of those guys, still there's a bit of a talent disparity. This is a pretty tough group. Probably the toughest top to bottom. Or probably second toughest top to bottom. Second toughest top to bottom.
But you see, like, in their second game, they get absolutely blown out by Spain, 90-64.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh my goodness. Mamu only plays 26 minutes. Not his best showing. 10 points on 12 shots. Just not really there for him. Does get 9 boards. But, and he doesn't have any fouls. But, like, you're just not seeing a massive, massive impact from Mamu. Like, this is the problem with Mamu. When it's on, it's on. When it's off, it's like, oh my goodness, what is going on
here? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the third game was the money game for Mamu and Georgia so far.
Yeah. They beat Turkey, which is a massive upset, 88-83 in double overtime.
Yeah.
Where you have Mamu and Şengün just going at each other. Back-to-back baskets, like in the end of regulation, end of OT, you end up with Mamu hitting the game-winning three, what ends up being the game-winning three for Georgia. He misses 5 minutes and 12 seconds of this game. He plays 44 minutes and 48 seconds of this double overtime game, which is ridiculous.
Put the team on his back, too.
Absolutely did. Puts up 20 points on 17 shots. Gets 12 rebounds, only has 1 assist, but he was doing all the scoring.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere.
Clutch shots.
What are your thoughts on that? Oh, let me go through the fourth game. They lost to Bulgaria by 12 points, which is a game you really should win, considering that Bulgaria was winless coming into this game.
Yeah, they had that's a tough, especially with Goga back and playing well, led the team with 21 points.
Yeah, and you have Mamu putting up 13 on 11 shots.
Did have 11 boards and 6 assists, yeah.
But it's just tough. He was getting blown out there on defense.
It's so tough. That's the thing with Mamu is I think offensively he's an NBA player. Like, I think he shoots well enough at this point. And you can see he's got the burst. He really jumps out on the offensive boards pretty often, even if defensive boards are up and down. He's a solid passer. He's a good ball handler. And what I like about him especially, and even on the Bucks specifically, is this is a guy who can take and knock down open threes, but if you close out hard, he is very comfortable putting the ball on the ground and getting to the rim, and he's able to do some stuff there. So I think offensively, his skill set is nice, and it's NBA level, but defensively is where he's kind of on an island. Really, I would say a 4.5. Like, I don't think he's true center size. He's a little too short. He's
6'9".
Almost strong enough. Like, I think he's pretty strong for, you know, an NBA that's really moved away from brute force in a lot of senses, but not the strongest guy. And I don't know if he's quick enough to guard true wing. So you get to a spot where, you know, defensively, it's like, where can you put him? And especially this is the opposite of offensively. It's a harder fit with the Bucks because a lot of the time, you know, I want to see Mamu and Giannis play together. I think after seeing the way he's played in a lot of these games, I want to see how it works. I want him to get real minutes with the real Bucks. It feels like we've really only seen him like in summer league here with Georgia, or okay, no one's playing. It's like you and Jamarcus Smart shooting, or Javante Smart, excuse me, shooting 1,000 times each. We don't learn that much. Like, we know what Mamu can do against lower competition or in junk games. I want to see him like play with Chris Giannis for, you know, 10 minutes and see what happens in a game. I want to see that a couple games, not just once. But defensively, you'd probably want to put him a lot of the places you're already putting Giannis, because we know the Bucks like to put Giannis on trying to think of a good example. You know, somebody who you're like, yeah, he's kind of, you don't want to walk too far away, but if you're making a play, it's fine. Like
PJ Tucker.
Yeah, or even I'm trying to think of just like wings Paul or like Millsap. Whatever. Paul Millsap, yeah. Davis Bertans sometimes.
No,
one gets scary with Giannis.
Yeah. But let's not do that one.
Guys like that though, and I just like you could always put Giannis somewhere.
DeAndre
else.
Hunter.
Like Giannis can handle going on better guys, but your defense at least has been geared around Giannis taking those guys and then roaming. So
Cam Reddish.
Yeah. You can put anyone on Cam. Put me on Cam Reddish. No, that's not.
Yeah. Also, can I kill the? You know what the Cam Reddish trade request reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the Iman Shumpert trade request from the Cavaliers like 5 years ago. At this point, like, bro, they're probably trying to trade.
I don't know why Bucks fans want him. It's true.
He's not good.
It's like, where is the hubbub over who is the Jarrett Culver? Because clearly, it's just a draft stock thing. Cam Reddish stinks.
He's not good.
And if you want to, we want to develop a wing. You have a wing to develop in Marjon Beauchamp, who's probably right now better than Cam Reddish. Because again, Cam Reddish is not good. I don't care about Cam Reddish.
Exactly. People saw the scoring outburst in one game of the playoffs with the Hawks and were like, oh my goodness, this guy's a big deal. Well, maybe try to replicate that like maybe over an entire game. Or how about a week? Also, give it a week. Like, do it, like, two games in a row, Cam.
It's just a red flag that I think the Knicks will, and the Hawks already gave up on him. Like, teams do that for a reason. The Hawks had three young wings to choose between, and Reddish was the first one they got rid of.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign.
No, just they're probably trying to trade you already, Cam. You didn't need to request it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back to Mamu.
The
problem with Mamu, in my opinion, is that he is a 3 on offense and a 5 on defense, and that doesn't work.
I think it would almost work better if he was a 5 on defense, a true 5.
Or he's a 4-5 on defense.
I think he's a 4.5, and not in a good way. Like, he's not a 4/5. I think Giannis is a 4/5/everything. Like, you can ask Giannis to do almost anything.
Giannis is a 2-5 on defense.
Yeah. But Mamu is like, I just don't know. And I think, honestly, it's more likely that he ends up a 4 than a 5 based on what the Bucks asked their 5s to do. But I want to see it now. I want to see him play with the real players more because he's impressed me that much, which is going into the season, I was like, we'll see if he does something really crazy with the hurt or whatever. Now I'm like, no, I would like them to actively show me tape of Mamu with starters just to see how it looks because I do think he's flashed enough that I say – maybe there is something really, really interesting here, which
the
I think
the talent's clearly there. Yeah. It's clearly there. It's abundantly clear it's there. But this has been my stance on Mamu for as long as he's been a Buck. It's just I don't see it in Milwaukee.
I'm not sure anymore. I mean, I think if he's good enough, you could figure it out.
I don't see it with Giannis.
I think you could. I think especially if we're in a post Brook Lopez world in a year or two.
That's fair.
You have some big minutes opening.
If you have Giannis playing the 5, then Mamu can play.
Yeah. Or Bobby. One of the two needs to play more 5.
I think it's Giannis more.
Yeah, I think it probably is too, but whatever.
Bobby Mamu with front court scares me.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. That you wouldn't work the rotation that way, that's for sure. But I think he's impressed me enough that I want to see more.
True. I want to see it as well. I want to see what you've got.
I wasn't as motivated to see more previously. But he's been really good with Georgia. Yeah.
The way he's been showing out and putting up points like in these type of competitions, absolutely. You have to see what you've got. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Ty, let's bring up the question. Who asked you the question, Ty?
Jacob_Abdul, Jake, on Twitter. I was tweeting. So John Horst went to the game, and I said Horst had to get out there to see Dorsey in person because, of course, we have been advocating for the Bucks acquire Tyler Dorsey challenge, which he is currently a two-way player with the Dallas Mavericks. And Jacob_Abdul, Jake, says, so if the Mavs say they will trade him but for Mamu, would you do it if you were Horst? And if I didn't have any updated on info on Mamu this summer, but I saw Dorsey play, I would have said yes. My response was no. But Dorsey is a much better fit on the Bucks than Mamu, in my opinion. But I wouldn't after what Mamu has done this summer. Because I think Dorsey has flashed that he can be a good complementary player around Giannis, which is valuable. Mamu has flashed that he can carry a team against real competition, which is what he did against Turkey. And they won that game against, you know, Şengün, Cedi Osman, Shane Larkin, a lot of NBA players. A good team in Eurobasket.
For some reason, my Twitter timeline is full of Şengün highlights, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
It's the nerds. The nerds are just obsessed with Şengün. Mamu better.
No, but it's just like all the recommended Mamu videos. Maybe look better. At what Şengün's doing. Like, what did I do?
There's a Şengün hive. And now there's the Hoopers hate him now.
Of course.
Isn't that Alperin Şengün becoming divisive is... really shows us the state of discourse where nothing can just exist. There's got to be two sides that make everything polar. Alperen Şengün being polarizing is disgusting. A disgusting indictment of our time.
We really need NBA basketball.
I don't know if it's going to change. But what's your take on trading straight up Mamu for Tyler Dorsey, who has also shown out?
If I'm John Horst, I say yes right away. Yeah. Right away, I say yes to that trade. And you gave me the rationale. Like, you said my reason.
Yeah.
He will fit better on this Bucks team than Mamu. This is not a slight to Mamu. Mamu, I think, is a very, very talented player. And everything you said is correct. He has shown that he has the ability to carry a team. Like, he has been leading this a Georgian team. He can do that. The Bucks don't need that. The Bucks really don't need that. They have a guy who – two guys who have shown that they can carry a team offensively. And can play defense, one more than the other. One way more than the other. Sorry, Chris. Get well soon, Chris.
So they have three guys. My God. Three guys. Yeah. Also, that Giannis guy has shown that, too.
Yes, but I'm also saying, I was saying Giannis.
Oh, around Giannis. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm saying in general, Giannis and Chris are two guys who can carry a team offensively.
You're carrying the anti-Drew sentiment from our pod with Numak, I see.
Oh, no. I love Drew. Drew, I love you. You cannot carry a team offensively. Are you going to fight me on that, Ty?
No. I don't exactly. think Chris can carry a team by himself either. But let's not get into this again. They both need help. They both need help around them, as every player does.
Exactly. The Bucks do not necessarily need what Mamu provides offensively, but they would love to have what Tyler Dorsey provides offensively.
Here's my counter. What world is a two-way player going to play real minutes anywhere?
I mean, that's the crux of it, right? Like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Well, that's why I lean Mamu, though, because I think Tyler Dorsey's top-end result is like a good role player. Mamu's top-end result, to me, is more than that. And that's why I would rather – if we're talking about a guy in a two
– higher floor.
But why if we're talking about a guy in a two-way contract?
Let's say you get injuries at guard. Like, we know that they've struggled at finding their two guard for a while. Like, let's say Grayson gets hurt and, like, you need an offensive spark. Who are you turning to? Wes Matthews?
Well, Marjon Beauchamp, one of George Hill, Javon Carter, Joe Ingles.
Sure. And Joe Ingles is a scoring punch as a two, which is not. Whatever. I'm not relitigating this. George Hill is not going to be an offensive scoring punch. He can't really provide that. He's more of a floor general than a scorer. Tyler Dorsey's a scorer.
Well, yeah. I don't think we're one injury away from Tyler Dorsey playing minutes on the Bucks.
No, if he was obviously not. And we're not one injury away from seeing Mamu get real rotation spot.
No, but that's my point is I'm not factoring it as much. Like, clearly in a world where you're saying we need a player to step in sooner, Dorsey is better. But
then what's the timeline for Mamu, though? Like, where do you see it going?
Like, next year, 2 years from now, as the core around Giannis ages and you just need more good players to step in and provide a spark, provide value, production.
And you don't think Tyler Dorsey can do that?
I think Mamu's ceiling is higher.
That's fair.
That's entirely my thing is with this two-way spot. And I certainly see the argument for develop Tyler Dorsey, who's, you know, just 26 years old. And get him going. Mamu's 23. It's not that much of a difference, although it is a difference in age. But you could, you know, maybe next year, maybe 2 years, maybe let's say next year for Dorsey, maybe he can step in and be like where Javon is now in the rotation. If George Hill is gone, probably will be, or some other players. Wes Matthews maybe doesn't come back. Who knows? I see the case. I think there's more chance that within 1 year, so like by, you know, the next NBA season, not this one coming up, Tyler Dorsey is probably more likely to contribute for the Bucks and this season. But I think I'd rather roll the dice and see, you know, can Mamu really build on this and really take like a true step and be, you know, I don't think a star, but like a plus rotation player, maybe. And if he can, I want to roll the dice on that because those are really hard to find. And if you can get one, you know, you'd have, he'd be early bird rights, I think, after this year if he plays some NBA games. So you have ways to keep him. I'm really intrigued by that if I'm the Bucks.
That's totally fair. Like, this is close.
Yeah.
I will say it is close. Let us know what you think.
I would do anything to trade AJ Green and some future second for Dorsey.
God, I can't believe he's still on a two-way, man.
Yeah.
That was like day one of free agency, wasn't it?
It's sad for a guy Lindell who really showed out in summer league. We'd like him back too, but Dorsey over Lindell.
Just, how has that not been done yet?
Yeah, well, hopefully maybe a Herd player next season.
But have AJ Green be a Herd player.
No, I know. I'm just saying as it stands right now.
Give us Lindell. Sorry, no offense to AJ Green, but give us Lindell.
Did you see the Herd traded Javon Delorier?
Yeah.
For a scorer on the OKC Blue. I talked to our OKC buddies. They don't love him.
DeLorean?
No, the Rob Thomas, I think his name is, or whoever.
I don't know what the Herd are really doing.
It's and they traded down too. They traded this year's first from South Bay for OKC's second next year.
Yeah.
And this is you should look at it more as like the NFL draft because there's multiple rounds and it's not like the NBA draft where a first is super valuable, but I don't love that trade so far. Maybe, you know, the new player will prove me wrong, but I like Javon DeLorier a lot.
Yeah, he really showed out after I called him out last preseason.
We both did. But yeah, he was great defensively.
He was so bad.
I would not be shocked if he ended up being a Thunder player at some point. Because center is
good. Yeah, I'm rooting hard for him.
I think center is probably their weakest position if you project forward on the guys they have right now, assuming Chet is like kind of in between and also not playing this year.
Chet's more of a four.
I think so too.
But anyway, he certainly has the length to play the five.
Yeah, we're deep into OKC Thunder and Herd now. Any other thoughts on Dorsey, Georgia, Greece, Mamu?
It's fun. I like it. This is a lot of fun.
Fingers crossed that Georgia makes it in. I don't know how deep they'd be able to go, but that'd be fun to see more Mamu this summer because he's really, really, really impressed, I think, in his time with Georgia.
No, it'd be great. If he is if Georgia does make it, what group are they? They are in group A. They would be A4, and they would play B1.
So, yeah, it gets tough right away.
The group of death. They would probably see an exit in round one.
Yeah. Like, it's either Serbia or Poland, right?
No.
No. It's Germany, Slovenia, France.
Yeah, they would play either Germany, Slovenia, or France, and it's like, okay, have fun, Georgia, with the rest of your summer. Way to perform.
Yeah. Also, to answer your question
earlier.
Unless
Mamu goes nuts.
To answer your question earlier from that group, I don't know why Germany's in one because they don't lead in point differential or really anything that I can see. But I think because they beat France and Slovenia beat Germany, they just threw them all there because it's just going to depend on the last game. But like, not one of those teams has not beat the other two.
True. Got it.
And I don't think it's good possible for them to at this point.
No.
Oh, yes, it is. If Slovenia beats France, it is.
Oh, you're right.
So if Slovenia wins, no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be exciting, though. Rest of Eurobasket continues. Also, we didn't mention this. ESPN Plus.
Yeah, all the games. It's been good. It's been a good streaming experience for me. I've had, like, no issues at all, no lags. Same. So.
It's like,
ten bucks for the month, I think.
$10?
Yeah.
$10 for a month. I got it. I canceled it right away. So.
Go back and read some Zach Lowe. Watch some detail while you've got it. Some neat NBA content behind the paywall.
For sure. Maybe I'll keep it. We'll see how. I'm not going to endorse Disney. Who cares?
Yeah. They'll be fine without our. They'll be fine. They can pay us if they want us.
Pay us, and then I'll talk more about you, Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all we have here, isn't it, Ty?
Yeah, it is.
The Herd dropped their schedule, didn't they recently?
They did. They're doing the same regional thing for the first games, the Showcase Cup, which will culminate in Vegas. Those games don't count towards standings. Then they play a 32-game regular season schedule after that. So the first 18, I believe, are all until the Showcase Cup are all regional games against like Windy City, Fort Wayne, etc. I think the Motor City, I think, is Detroit's team now.
Yeah.
And
when's the home opener?
November something. November it's against something? Windy City. It should be fun.
I think it's the 4th, I believe.
That sounds right.
I'll I think I'm going to try my best to be there.
Rohan's going to be at the home opener. Breaking news. I hopefully will.
Yes.
It's wedding season for me this fall, so I'm going to have some scattershot availability early, but I'm hoping I'll be at that game.
It's a Friday.
They don't play the Ignite team this week, which is not fun.
No. This year they don't?
This year. Yeah, sorry. Definitely not this week, but not this year. But they got them last year, so.
Yeah, that's true. But the Ignite are an actual like team now. Like they qualify for playoffs and stuff, right?
Yes.
They play a full regular season?
I believe so, but I never know, man. Okay. Too much changes in the G every year. It takes me a little while to get used to it every season.
Elam ending too at some
in overtime, yeah.
Okay, we are deep in the weed now. Let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. Check out gspn.info for all of our podcasts, whether that's Cruising for a Bruising, whether that's Talk of the Tundra, whether that's Make Time for This, Win in Six, also on this same feed, so you don't have to go anywhere. But yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you're watching or listening to this. Leave a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. Pod Random. We will talk to you next time.